Good. Amen. Just want to thank you guys for being here. We've been doing some things a little bit different. Just with the last message, we're going to do something a little bit similar to what we did last week. And if you weren't here, we basically shared a video, clips from a video from Pastor Bill Johnson, who is pastor of Bethel Church. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that church in Redding, California. But we do have notes to follow along with. So if you do need an outline, last week we ran out of outlines because there were so many people here. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. I just want to give you a hand. I don't know if you're going to clap. You don't have to clap. Let me just clap by myself right here. Thank you guys so much for just for showing up. And it's been cold. Okay. It's been really, really cold. We've had some 50 degree temperatures. We've had some negative degree temperatures, but you guys still have pressed your way. And so we're grateful for that. And just banding together as a family to just continue to listen to God and to support and encourage one another to keep following after the Lord. Amen. So if you need an outline, you can raise your hand. You can also follow along on our CLC South Bend app if you want to download that. And you can follow along with us underneath the Sermon Notes tab. And that's available both in English and in Spanish. Well, I do want to let you know that we are still in our Arise and Shine series. Somebody please say, Arise and Shine. Amen. Thank you for saying that to me. Now, can you find somebody next to you and say that to them? Arise and shine. Amen. You might wonder what all that means. Very simple. It comes from Isaiah chapter 60, and it says, Arise, shine, for your light has come. And what I believe God is saying to us in this hour, I believe he's saying it to his entire church, but I know with full assurance that he's saying it to us as a local church body, that Jesus Christ is ready. He has come. He is here. He is ready to do the work that he's called us to do, or the work that he wants to do in the earth, and he wants to do it through us, with us. So he's looking to us and saying, look, Doug, Shauna, all y'all, CLC, South Bend, let's get up. Arise, it's time to shine because there is a world in darkness. If you read that verse 2 in Isaiah 60, it talks about how the world is growing ever so dark, but there's a light that's in us that has to shine forth. It has to shine. It has to come out because we're the only way that the world's going to see that light. I was explaining to our team during our pre-service meeting that Jesus came as the light. He gave it to 12 men. They gave it to a community around them. And that community around them gave it to cities. And those cities gave it to nations. And 2,000 years later, somebody gave it to us. 2,000 years later, somebody gave it to us. So let's not be the generation that doesn't give it to the next generation. Amen. Somehow that light shined in them, or shone in them, whatever, however you want to say that. And it has to shine in us too. It has to shine through us. And so we have to make sure that we are letting the light of Jesus Christ shine in us. Now, last week we took a look at the video from Bill Johnson, Pastor Bill Johnson, and he talked about bitterness. And bitterness is one of those things where it's like, if you don't deal with it, you don't even know that you're being bound by it. It just becomes a part of your DNA. It becomes a part of who you are. And bitterness usually comes with a lot of disappointed expectations. A lot of things that we expect from God, a lot of things that we expect from people, and they go unfulfilled, and all of a sudden we become so angry and bitter that we don't even realize that anger is starting to come out at work. It's starting to come out at home. It's starting to come out when we're driving. We don't drive, you know, so many miles per hour over the speed limit like we used to. We kind of kick it up a notch. You know, we got a few nasty looks for the people who aren't driving the way that we know that they should be. Amen. I'm not speaking by experience or nothing. I'm just saying. I'll just blame it that on the fact that I was born and raised in Chicago. That's just the way it. But today we're going to do something. We're going to do pretty much the same format. We're going to show a few video clips here from part two of Bill Johnson's message. But this time we're not going to deal with bitterness. We're going to deal with the issue of jealousy. And you might be asking yourself, well, first of all, Pastor Doug, why are we doing all these videos, man? Is this how church going to get ready to go? No, just these two. Okay. Just last week and this week. Next week we're going to actually talk about the antidote a little bit, but today we're talking about jealousy. And the reason why I believe we have to do this by way of video is because there is something in Bill Johnson's delivery that I believe is important. You may not agree with this. You all may love Pastor Doug so much and you just feel like, oh, he's so awesome and so great and so forth. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But I believe, this is just my belief, there's a certain authority that Bill Johnson speaks from in some of his tenure from a kingdom perspective. There's also something that God just kind of gave me this at the last minute. There's also something to be able to yield the pulpit to another man. And I'm yielding the pulpit not to him to come here today, but just to show a video. And there's something to that that has to say, God, that I have to express to the Lord, God, I'm not holding on to this so tightly that I can't yield it so that you speak in the way that you desire to speak. And so if I have that mandate, then guess what that also means? That means that somewhere in this, you have to also be able to say, hey, you know what? I can yield to this. I can watch this. But what I really want is what God has for me. That's what I really want. So I don't want you to get thrown off by, oh my goodness, here comes another video. I could have stayed at home and watched this on my YouTube, you know, or something like that. Which, by the way, I will give the address to all of that at the end of the service. But that's the reason why. But now some of you may say, well, man, bitterness and jealousy, that doesn't seem like something so, you know, we could be able to get over that. And you would be surprised at how bitter and jealous we are just sitting here right now. You'd be surprised. And I think it's going to start to open up a little bit for us as we get into this message and as we talk about this a little bit as well. When it comes to, and I just want to share this before I share this first video, when it comes to bitterness in particular, there's something about bitterness that says God got it wrong. That's what we're saying. When we become bitter, somewhere in us, we're. It's like I might be bitter because of what's happening in somebody else's life, what somebody did to me. Ultimately, it comes down to what God allowed to happen, or what God did not fulfill, or what God did, or how God did not move, or how God did not protect, or how God did not bless. You might see it through people. But ultimately, it comes back right around to God. Even with jealousy, jealousy tends to point a little bit more at the people next to us to say, well, why did they get this? Well, how come you get to do this? I know I'm serving God better than you. So how come you get to have this? How come you get to go there? How come God's blessing you? And even with that, somehow it all comes back around to God. I'm a little upset with you. And that's why I think we need to deal with these particular issues, is that we got a world that's in darkness that needs to see the light of Jesus Christ shining through us. These two issues greatly hinder that from happening. If I'm too busy being bitter with God, I will not let his light shine. If I'm too busy jealous of what somebody else has, I won't bind together with them to do what I know I need to do, and that is to join together with them so that my light can shine with this person's light, and it becomes such a greater light that people can clearly see the light of Jesus Christ. So just grab somebody's hand right now, and you're understand that you're joining lights here. And when you join lights together, they become a much bigger, brighter light. And that is one of the ways that the light is going to get brighter. Yes. It's not so much that you're going to have more Jesus and so you're going to have so much more of a brighter light shining in you. It's just that you're going to join together with other lights because you're going to come to an understanding that somehow I can't let bitterness and jealousy be a hindrance to me connecting with other lights, because there's a world that needs to see the light, and I don't want to be the one responsible for hindering another generation for receiving what I got passed down to me from 2,000 years ago. Or anything else for that matter, to be a blockade for my children and my children's children and even generations beyond from receiving the very same light that's in me. Amen. So that's why we're doing this morning. That's why we're talking about these particular issues. And I believe that there's, I want to give our sound people a little bit of time, because last week it was a little bit muffled, and I found out that the computer was too loud, and I found out who was the culprit behind it. Sorry. But see, what had happened was, but I think we got it together this time. Amen. So I want to go ahead and start into this video, and we have it. I know we have one more than we had last week, but these are a little bit shorter. So, but anyway, without further ado, come on, let's welcome Bill Johnson. All right, let's give our attention to the screen.
I spoke on the subject of bitterness a couple of weeks ago as the defiling factor. In Hebrews, there's this warning about bitterness, and there's this, Jesus taught and said, basically this: you are forgiven as you forgive. So you set the standard for how you are forgiven in your life. And so the issue of bitterness is so destructive in a person's life. And I've been wrestling with this as a theme for a season, and have felt that this would be the right time, even though it's awkward because of the holidays. So just warn all your friends, don't come back during Christmas. Yeah, I'm kidding. I want to do the second half of that today and talk to you a bit about jealousy. Jealousy, in many ways, is the mother of bitterness. And learning to deal with these issues of the heart is paramount. Now, bitterness is so destructive. It's, somebody once said, bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping it will have an effect on the other person. And it's the opposite. It destroys the internal world of an individual. And what I've noticed through pastoral care for the last 45 years is that there are three areas that seem to invite and accelerate demonic activity in a person's life. And those three areas are sexual perversion, any repeated activity. I mean, do you understand that sins start as sin of the flesh, and then they move into a sin that is spiritual, where they become demonically inspired and regulated? It's true. Even witchcraft is mentioned as a sin of the flesh in Galatians 5. Witchcraft, you would think that would start off absolutely demonic. It doesn't, because witchcraft by nature is manipulation and control. And many parents use manipulation and control to raise kids, not knowing they're actually partnering with the spirit of witchcraft. Politicians do it all the time. And so do pastors and leaders. The issue of manipulation and control is the seedbed for the spirit of witchcraft that eventually becomes this demonically controlling and empowered activity in a person's life. All right, same thing with sexual sin, sexual perversion. I've watched through the years as people have come under this demonic activity in their life through repeated sexual sin. The second one would be drug abuse, but especially there's something about hallucinogenics that open a person up to the spirit world where they become a pawn into the demonic realm. And the third is bitterness. The two most scary people I've ever known, and as a pastor, you work with a lot of people, sometimes off the streets, especially Weaverville. We were right on the main street. People would just pass by and knock on the door and ask for help. The two scariest people I ever met, their issue was actually bitterness. They had other issues going on in their life, but they were so possessed and tormented by the spirit of bitterness that it was frightening. And they both actually ended up in prison for life for murder, because bitterness is murder in diapers. It is undeveloped murder, and that's what it is. And the enemy's attempt is always to get you to destroy somebody else and destroy yourself in the process. Wow.
Yeah. You see why I can't just say all that? There's something I just got to let this man say. But for your first point, jealousy gives birth to bitterness. I don't know if you caught that in the beginning of what he shared. Jealousy actually acts as the mother of bitterness. There's just something about jealousy that becomes a, as he put it, seedbed for just seeds of bitterness. There is one thing that I want to emphasize in this, especially when he talks about these three areas of where he has seen over his lifespan the place where the demonic has a tendency to have very free reign in a person's life. And the first place that he says was sexual perversion. And then he talks about drug use, particularly hallucinogens. And then he talks also about bitterness. I want to make sure you understand these aren't the only ways, okay? So that we don't get it in our heads, like, oh, okay, well, he didn't say this, then, you know, I'm okay, I'm cool with my, you know, with my little fornication. You know, it's not perversion or nothing, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. You know, and especially with drug use. Oh, well, I don't do no LSD, hallucinogen. I just smoke a little weed every now and then, do a little this and that. And, you know, No. All of these things, you know, give place to the demonic. And if I could just also warn you that so does alcohol. And if you really want to know the truth, so does nicotine. They give an access to the demonic realm that you don't really understand that you're giving place to. And so many other places in our life, and so does bitterness. And so I don't want you to think that, hey, well, my thing wasn't on the list, so, you know, I'm cool. I'm okay. No, you probably still need to delve into the places where this may tear the cap off, but now I got to look inside what's in the jar. This may tear the cap off of my heart, but now it gives me space to look, well, what's kind of like what he just talked about in my life? I probably need to deal with that too. I might not be dealing with bitterness, but man, I sure did cuss somebody out the other day. Maybe I just got a hot temper, you know, and maybe I just need a little bit of help with that. It may not be full on bitterness, but man, it's sure not demonstrating the power of God in my life. Okay, so I just want to make sure we understand that. And so we want to make sure that we deal with these issues, but also the issues that maybe if we can just call these the three major issues, maybe some minor issues come up that can still spoil our vine. Some minor issues might come up that might still ruin our family. Some minor issues may come up that might cause me to lose my job, you know, and cause me to keep a world that's in darkness from coming to the light that's in me. Okay. All right, let's go on to the next video and talk a little bit about Matthew 20.
But I'm going to take a story in Matthew 20, and I'm just going to abbreviate it for you and read the conclusion. This is the story. It's about a landowner and servants, and he hires people from the city square. He would go down to the city square, and he would find people that needed jobs, and he needed help on his ranch, on his farm. So he'd go down to the city square, he'd get some people, and he would hire them, and it was a 12-hour work day. And so he would hire these folks for a denarius. They would come to work for him. He went back down, I forget now, after I think the third hour of the day, so there's 9 hours left of the work day, and he found some more people that needed work. Went back to the ranch. He went back after 6 hours, etc. And finally, the 11th hour of the day, there's only one more hour to work, he goes back down to the city square and he finds people that still are needing work and he needs help on the ranch. So he gets them, takes them back to the ranch, and at the end of the day, he pays them. And so they're lining up for pay. And if you remember the verse, the last shall be first, the first shall be last. This is actually one of the contexts in which that phrase was used. So what he did is he brought those who were hired at the end of the day. He had actually only worked an hour, and he paid them a denarius. Well, everybody else in line thought, well, this is awesome. The landowner, the boss, is being generous. He's giving them one denarius. Let's just call it $100. Gives them $100 for their work that day. And everyone else is thinking, oh, this is awesome because now we're going to get more. And when he gets down the line and he pays the people that had worked for 12 hours, he gives them $100, the same as everyone else. And they're angry about it. They're upset and angry because they were paid the same as the guy who only worked an hour. And listen to this concluding verse. It's in verse 15 of Matthew 20. Let's go back to verse 14. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Catch that last phrase. Is your eye evil because I am good? Here's the bottom line. Every one of us are in this story either as the favored one or as the friend of the favored one. And the role will change. There will be moments where the spotlight is on you and you get what you know you do not deserve. You will be honored and blessed in a way that you never could have worked for. It's called grace. And there will be other times where your friend gets the very thing you prayed for, the very thing you fasted for. I don't know why it works this way, but it seems that the person who has three cars is always the one that drives into the grocery store as the 1 millionth customer, and they win a fourth car. And the person who needs the car doesn't have a car and is not the 1 millionth customer. Don't make me explain that because I don't understand it, but I just know resource attracts resource. Favor attracts favor. And there are moments in our lives where we are the one that are selected, chosen, and we're the one given the $100 for 1 hour work instead of 12. Everybody in this room has those moments. It's called grace. It's the way the kingdom works. But the kingdom also works this way, where the guy next to you gets the very thing you prayed for. And here's the question. Is your eye evil because he is good? Let's put it another way. Because of the corruption in your own heart, do you see the goodness of God displayed on another person in a wrong way? Has it distorted your perception of divine favor somewhere else?
Yeah. Point number two, jealousy makes our eye evil towards God's goodness. Oh, he mentioned a lot of good stuff in there. He said something about resource attracting resource. I thought that was really interesting because I thought, well, God, somebody might be in here saying, well, I don't really have resources. I think that's the misinformation we have to first deal with. Resource attracts resource. Amen. Go ahead and say that. Resource attracts resource. Now, I believe that's the first thing we have to deal with is, well, I don't have a whole lot of resource. Well, nobody said you had to have a whole lot of resource. But you got something. Even if you've been calling your something nothing, you've got something. If I can just jump over a few chapters into another parable from where he just spoke to in Matthew 25, There's a parable called the parable of the talents, where you have a guy who's a master. You have a master who gives a guy five talents, another one two talents, another one talent. And we know the story. The one with five did what he had to do to get another five. The one with two did what he had to do to get another two. And with both of them, when the master returned, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. And now I'm going to make you rule over much. But the one with just the one talent, he was so afraid to mess that up that he went and hid that talent. But he had something. He may not have had what five guy had. I'm just like saying five guys. I just I think a double cheeseburger and all of that. He may not have had what Five Guy, there it is again. He may not have had what Five Guy had, but nevertheless, he had something. If he chose not to do anything with it, then that's on him. I was telling our guys at our men's breakfast the other day, that when the master came back, the master said to this one who buried his gift, he said, listen, you know I could have just done anything with what I wanted to do, but my decision was to make you involved in it. I wanted to share my glory, in a sense, with you, so that you could have a sense of my goodness towards you, and sow that into the rest of the world and watch it multiply. I wanted you to experience that. But because you sit down here, you did nothing, you wicked, lazy servant. That's from the Bible. That's not from me. That's actually from Jesus' lips. Because you sat down here and did nothing with it, I'm going to take from you what you've been calling nothing. And I'm going to give that what you've been calling nothing that I'm going to put that in somebody else's hand now, and because they're producing with it. And in this story, he says, you should have at least put my money in with the bankers. Now, let me just share a little bit on that, as what I shared with the guys back here on our men's breakfast, is that, take me for instance. I don't necessarily consider myself a great pastor. I don't really, when I think of a pastor and I think of Doug, I don't match the two. Okay? I'm just keeping it real with you. I don't match the two. But God called me to this, so I'm doing the best I can with it. Okay? I can't afford to sit in Chicago from where God called me and say, well, I hear God calling me to do this, but I'm afraid that I'm going to mess it up. I might jumble my speech. I might show too many videos. I might do something wrong. I can't afford to let what I think I'm going to get wrong stop me from answering the call that God has for me. So whether I got a Doug Neal ministry or whether I got a Bill Johnson ministry, it doesn't matter. I've got to do what God's called me to do. So here's the thing. God says you should have at least invested in the bankers. Here's what I'm saying with that. I should have at least opened the doors and ask some people to help. I should have at least invested in some prayer people. I should have at least empowered some worship people. I should have at least empowered some sound and some video people, some children's people. I may not know a thing about how to run a children's ministry, but I should have at least taken my opportunity to say, hey, can you do this? You become my banker. That if God is calling me to this, then now I need your help and assistance to make this whole thing look like something good to this community. So you all become my bankers. And I do what I can to invest in you, to say, can you help do this so that this church can look like something when somebody else who is lost and in darkness is trying to come into the light of God. So I may only be a one talent guy, but I can at least invest in you guys to say, let's do this. And you can't afford to be hung up with bitterness and jealousy, looking at each other. Well, why you get to teach today? How come you get to play the guitar? I know how to work sound. You didn't ask me to work the sound. I know how to smile and say hello. Why you ain't make me an usher? I should have been a head usher. Are you getting all this? Good. Because I'm tired of talking. I'm ready to go to video 3. All right. Next video, please. Video 3.
The real lesson, the real invitation of the Lord is for us to learn to celebrate the breakthroughs, the favor that is shown to another person. Proverbs says, if I don't know how to handle another person's possession, I cannot be entrusted with my own. So let's just take this as the possession of favor. If I cannot celebrate the favor that is put upon Dan, if I can't rejoice in that grace that just rests on him, where he is this amazing, highly favored by everybody I know, if I can't celebrate that that rests on his life, then I am not qualified. I don't know if qualified is the right word, but I'll use it. I am not qualified to have the same measure of favor on my life. Why? Because I'll pervert and distort it. If I cannot use somebody else's possession well, I can't be entrusted with my own. In the practical sense, it's the car you rent. People who rent cars treat them much, much worse than if that car were their own personal car. And what it does is in the unseen realm, it restricts the measure and level of personal promotion, because we have chosen to abuse what is not ours, therefore restricting ourselves from future promotion.
Point number three, jealousy keeps us from promotion. That is, yeah, that's a good word right there. And it's something, see this is why I got to let this man teach us and deposit something into this house, even by way of video, in that this is stuff I would have never seen. That you can actually take, I know the story from Luke 16 about the unjust steward that talks about at the moral of the story, if I can't handle what's earthly, who's going to give me the true riches of heaven? If I can't handle money in a right way, then if I can't handle $1, who's going to give me $100? Nobody in their right mind. And so what he's expressing here is that when God looks at how we celebrate, or how we either celebrate or become jealous of someone else's favor, it becomes a test to us to say, if I bless him, let me see how Doug's going to handle that now. So God could have blessed Shauna in a closet somewhere. But because God wanted to bless me, God brings Shauna here and says, "Watch this, Doug." And God pours all this blessing on her. And then God looks to me and says, "What do you think about that, Doug?" Now I've got two choices. I can say, "Wow, that's awesome. Look at God on you, girl. Blessed and highly favored." Or I could look at her and say, with contempt, and say, "Well, why didn't God bless me that way?" And here's one of the things that has to be our saving grace, is that God giving to another takes nothing from us, even the blessings we haven't received yet. It's not like God got a cookie jar and he's only got 5 cookies and he's passing out 4 to everybody else, and now he's breaking one in half and passing it to somebody else that's already got 1, ain't but a half a cookie left, and you're looking and thinking, "Oh man, I ain't gonna get nothing." All of a sudden, 3 more people walk in the door. "Oh, I ain't gonna get no cookies." Here they come out of darkness, about to eat up all the light. Here they come. But do you understand? That's what's getting ready to happen. Is people about to get blessed who don't even understand what the gospel is? And you've been serving God for years, decades, and you're about to watch them get amazingly blessed. And God's going to look at you and say, "What do you think about that, Doug?"
That's right. Yes, he is. How do you like that?
Here's a good place for me to drop this. Here's a good place for me to drop this. Because we've been talking about Isaiah 60. And I've been going through verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3. And then I jump over verse 4. And then I go to verse 5 and talk about all his wealth that's getting ready to come. What verse 4 says is that look to the north and to the south. I forget exactly how it reads. But he says, your sons and daughters, they're coming. Here they come. They're getting ready to, if I can just say it this way, they're getting ready to nurse from you. They're getting ready to be in need for what you have to give to them that's actually going to be what feeds them. So those that are coming out of darkness, that I'm fearful getting ready to eat all the cookies, suck up all the light, God is saying you've got to love them like your own children. And you've got to nurse them out of darkness into light. You're going to have to feed them the very light that I've already given to you, the light that you keep calling nothing, the gift and the talent that you keep calling nothing, I need you to now realize is more than something. It's more than enough for you, to the point where, because it's my grace that's given it to you, so it's more than enough for you, and it's something that you're going to have to begin to pour out to others that are in need. But I don't feel like serving them people. I don't feel like nursing these children. Because I'm waiting for God to bless me with something. I'm waiting for God to do something for me. I'm waiting for God to give me my breakthrough. And the test for us is this. Can I handle the outpour of favor on somebody else so that my heart's not so corrupted by what I think I want to where I can't celebrate what somebody else is receiving? That becomes the test for me to say, am I ready to even receive from God what it is he wants to pour into my life? Yes. Amen. Amen. Y'all look about ready for video number 4. Let's give our attention to the screen once more.
And so another person's favor is to be celebrated. And there are times where the Lord will actually plant somebody in your life and they will receive the thing you've ached for. You maybe have fasted and prayed for it. You've had prophecies about it. You've cried out to God. You've done all this stuff for maybe for years. And then they come in, you know, you've been praying for 20 years for this. They come in and 6 months later, they got it. And there is it's called a test. And the test is to see how can I manage my heart when somebody else receives easily what I've labored for. And that's the story here. Is your eye evil because he is good? Because this is what happens, is when things are not right here, I will distort the circumstances of another person's life and I will twist it for my favor, for my to where I'm the winner in the argument. I'm the winner. And what jealousy does is jealousy moves to read other people's motives, to bring accusation in the heart, maybe never out loud. But jealousy, let me put it this way, both jealousy and bitterness are reasonable. There are reasons. Right? You talk to somebody. I remember wanting to pray for somebody and I could sense something on them. I said, do you need to forgive anyone? And her response was, you don't realize what they did for me. In other words, I have a reason. My reasoning says this is a legitimate response to what was done to me. That reasoning is carnal reasoning. It is unrenewed mind reasoning. It is not biblical reasoning. Biblical reasoning works from the cross towards a situation. Biblical reasoning works from the redemptive work of Jesus towards any broken situation that you and I are involved in. Jealousy causes, enables a person, perverts a perspective in a person's heart to the, where they read motives, wrong motives into another person's heart. The way that you walk in forgiveness is stay away from thinking you ever know somebody else's motives. It is forbidden territory. It's no trespassing. I do not have a right to go and say, well, they did this because of. I don't have the right to ever do that. Because the Bible says, I can't even know my own heart. What's scary to me is there are people who are confessing Christ that don't read this word. This is a knife that cuts, and it cuts to expose. This thought is from God. This thought is not. How does a person live with ample discernment to recognize when we are going into something that is forbidden and no trespassing and trying to figure out the motives of another person? So the scripture says, I don't even know my own heart. How can I know yours? Well, the Lord showed me. No, he didn't show you, because he's a better steward than that. He's not going to reveal the heart to another person that's going to make them bitter. There is someone who will show you their heart, but it's not our Lord.
Okay. Point number four, jealousy validates carnal reasoning, and it distorts God's goodness towards others. When my heart is not right, I will distort another person, another person's favor, to my advantage, to where it sounds like I'm the right one. So I can look at a situation, or someone could look at a situation and think, well, how'd they get a man like that? I know what you did. How did they get the promotion? Must be doing something with that boss. I ain't talking about nothing, you know, I'm just saying. I ain't talking about like what I just said with the first one. You know, it's like, why this church grow? Why is that church down the street growing so much? I can tell you why, because they ain't teaching truth like we are. They don't preach on sin like we do in this place. You see, if they would be bringing the truth, everybody wouldn't be walking up in there like that. So my jealousy perverts. It perverts the goodness of God into something evil, and I look wise for addressing it. Now I'm on all levels of social media making my wise proclamations. I'm on every form of thisagram and that book. And I'm telling everybody, I'm spilling all my wisdom. Not realizing that all I'm really doing is poisoning everybody that's a friend or follower with bitterness. And for every bitter person that hits, they getting ready to share it to a whole bunch of other people. And you wonder why the world around you feels so offended. Because we're spewing nothing but bitterness on each other. And we don't want to realize it. We don't want to recognize it. It's become so woven into our DNA that we've been calling it wisdom. We've been calling it discernment. And it's nothing more than bitterness and jealousy. So biblical reason, as reasoning, or biblical wisdom, as he says, it works from the cross towards any broken situation that we face. It works from a place of me humbling myself and sacrificing my own desires to be able to meet another person's need. Whew. Yeah, let's go to video number 5.
James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, that's self-promotion, in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Here's what you've got to see. Bitterness and jealousy is wisdom. That's what it says. This wisdom is not from above. That's why those who are steeped in bitterness and jealousy consider themselves to be right, discerning, accurate. Bitterness and jealousy masquerades as the need for justice. It masquerades under the need for justice. And for that reason, it's biblically called wisdom. It's just wisdom that comes from the demonic realm. The battleground for every one of us, the biggest battleground we face is the mind. It is our thought world. And perhaps a day, I don't know, maybe in the next year sometime, we can take 2 or 3 weeks just to work on this one theme, this one idea. If you could imagine, 2 Corinthians 10 talks about the pulling down strongholds. And strongholds exist in thought patterns. It's a real abstract picture and idea, but the concept is very real and very biblical. So imagine this, in the old days, the big castles. Those castles were places where the king and his family could hide out if there was an assault. The soldiers could regroup there and recover their strength and replenish themselves. It was a place of safety, a stronghold. So imagine now this castle is built out of these large stones. And these stones are the illegitimate thoughts and concepts that the enemy raises up to us against other people or against our identity, our destiny, whatever they are. Every one of these stones. And whenever I embrace an illegal thought, let's say it's against an individual. Let's just stick with the theme of bitterness and resentment. If I entertain a thought that accuses somebody that's in my life, what I've done is I've put a stone there. Now, that stone is not a hiding place for the demonic. But if I keep building on it, pretty soon I have a castle in my thinking, a way of wrong thinking in which the demonic hides. And you say, well, Christians can't be that influenced by demons. That's just not true. It's not true. It's why Paul had such a strong, you could, in Ephesians 4, don't give place to the devil. In other words, you could, don't. Don't do it. Those kinds of, that way of thinking. So when you find that you've been under delusion about bitterness or resentment, jealousy, those kinds of things, it means that repentance is needed. It means very specific confession of sin. It's not, oh, God, forgive me, I had a bad attitude. Or God, I just haven't liked this person, forgive me. Deal with the lies. And the best antidote for lies is truth. Find what God says about a person.
Amen. So point number 5, jealousy is wisdom. It's just not God's wisdom. And it becomes a stronghold for the enemy. It becomes a hiding place in our thoughts for the demonic to influence our thinking so that we treat people, even God, in a very negative way. Okay? And it becomes all of those things. So the stronghold part of that is very important to understand, because it becomes just building blocks. every time I entertain a thought that's either accusing towards another person, or expresses in some way bitterness or jealousy or resentment in my own heart, that becomes a building block. That building block is not what the enemy can begins to hide behind, but as long as I continue to embrace that, and the way that I continue to embrace that is when I don't deal with this first thought. That's how I continue to embrace that. If I don't deal with this first thought to say, nope, Doug, that was wrong, it was accusing towards that person, let me kick this block over so that I don't begin to build a castle for the enemy to rule in my life. So that I don't begin to build a castle for the enemy to have domain in my thought life. So I've got to deal with this first capstone of building. But if I've got a castle in my life and I recognize, man, Pastor Doug, you and Pastor Bill kind of working on me right here. And I recognize that I got a whole castle of bitterness. I recognize I got a whole fortress of jealousy that the enemy has just been torturing me with. Well, let's begin the demolition today. Let's begin the demolition today. We're gonna knock that wall down brick by brick. Until, as Jesus said in the Bible, that until there's not one stone left on top of another. Amen. And we're going to do that in just a minute. We're going to work through these points for just a minute. We're going to do that in just a minute, though. Let's do the next video, video number 6.
I was going through one of the Christian magazines, and it was conference after conference, What I've learned to do is I've learned to, if I know something about somebody or I question the integrity of somebody that is very famous, I don't sit there and become bitter and accuse. I just turn the page quick. It's just how I avoid the issue. I don't need to have an opinion about this person. But what I saw was succeeding in resisting the spirit of accusation, but I was not succeeding in feeling God's heart for them. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And I was choosing indifference as the solution for whatever I would question about this individual. All right? And so I went, when I saw what was happening, I went back through the magazine. I went through the magazine. I turned page after page. I'd see this conference. And I would stare at the pictures of the people until I could feel God's heart for them. And then I'd turn the page again, and I'd look at the picture. Oh, God, this person's so highly favored for a reason. I know they paid a price that I'll never know about, but you favored them because of that. And I'd turn the page. And something began to become activated in me. What you don't want to do is you don't want to embrace that whole nonsense of knowing somebody else's heart. And it's a huge trap. Once you've succeeded there, we have to move into a place where we give people the benefit of the doubt.
Amen. So point number 6, jealousy leads to indifference, the real enemy of love. It's when we try to just not care, make people just not mean anything, and be apathetic towards, it's just like nothing. We're numb to them. And God doesn't want us to be numb to each other. If you didn't get but that one point out of that video clip, please get that. Don't be indifferent about other people. Amen. You know what? I'm going to go ahead for the sake of time, because that's all I really want you to get from that particular video. Is that point is that jealousy can lead to indifference, but that's the real enemy of love. And I want to get to this next video because it's kind of a few videos behind. Go ahead and show this very last one. And before you show that, I want to go ahead and invite our worship team to the front, and we're going to celebrate. You may not be ready yet, but as an act of faith, we're going to celebrate today, because I believe that part of our antidote to this, which is what we're going to talk about next week, is making sure that we celebrate God and his goodness, and not just his goodness toward us, but his goodness towards others. Amen. So as they come, we can go ahead and show this last video clip.
My dad had this saying that's honestly one of the most important phrases I have ever heard in my life. He would tell us, if you wash another person's feet, you'll find out why they walk the way they do. I spent time with some folks that are real rascals. And then I get in and I wash their feet. And I find out what kind of life they've had. I find out that they've never had anybody stand with them. I find out all this stuff by just spiritually, if you get figuratively get the metaphor of just serving that person, washing their feet, so to speak. All of a sudden I find out, oh, this is why they limp. This is why they limp. If I had that in my past, I would limp too. Of course, I'd want to be healed. I'd want to be delivered, but at least I understand it. Does that make sense to you? There's something about stepping into a place of serving and loving people that you question. The third thing that I would say is so critical is put the heart of forgiveness. Put the favor that you're trying to extend to that individual as much as is possible, put it into an action. Behavior has to be measurable through action. Again, the passage quote I quote often, if I say I love God whom I can't see and I hate my brother who I can see, I'm a liar. Why? Because I don't have the right to claim an invisible reality that cannot be demonstrated in my behavior in the natural. It has to be verifiable on how I treat the people around me. So here we've got this issue of jealousy. We've got this thing that really becomes the seedbed, the atmosphere for bitterness to actually take over a person's life. So this issue of jealousy is called, according to Scripture, jealousy. This bitter envy is actually reasonable from the demonic realm. So if it makes sense to you, guess where you're thinking from? You're seeing through the situation through the enemy's eyes. It's the only reason it is reasonable. That's where this has to matter. We come before God, we drop to our knees, we say, God, I see this, I'm convinced I'm right, and I know I'm not, because it's contrary to your word. And we come clean with the Lord, and we stay there, and it may be a repeated situation. I remember a situation I had years ago where, my goodness, I must have forgiven the person 100 times a day, literally, 100 times a day. I was just being bombarded in my mind. And I would, it was such a fight at work. I would stop. I wasn't able to function normally. I was being so bombarded, my mind, my thinking, my emotions. But I stuck with it. I make the declaration. I say, no, I have forgiven this person. I refuse to think evil of that person. I will not accuse so-and-so before the Lord. They are a servant of the Lord. They are not my servant. I bless them. And then just work to serve that individual. Put the forgiveness into some sort of an action. So you didn't win the car you needed. Your friend who has 3 cars now has 4. Buy him a tank of gas. Do something. Put it into a practical action. Because we all need fruit that gives evidence for what's happening in the unseen inside of us. We need fruit. We need, yes, of course you can fake it. But fake it until you get it. Fake until it's real. Do the right thing until it becomes your nature to do the right thing. Jealousy kills people. And I'm saying this to you today because I have sensed that we are in another wave, another season, another wave of promotions. And promotions are wonderful, but they never happen to everybody at once. One of you is going to be the guy that worked for an hour. And you get the wages for 12 hours. And you're going to have to deal with the fact that everybody around you, if they operate in ungodly wisdom, are trying to discern what you did to have that kind of favor. How did you manipulate the situation? You never have to apologize or explain the Lord's blessing. When you have favor, live with the favor. Don't be apologetic. in the season of promotion, some of you are going to be the one with the wages of a day's work for 1 hour. And others of you, it's going to be your friend. And you're going to be the one that works so hard for minimum. And it will be your assignment to learn how to move into a place where jealousy and regret all are addicted to the past. They all have a similar effect on the soul of a person, have a similar effect on the emotional condition, the mental condition. And I'll tell you what, the enemy fears, and I don't think I can say this strong enough, he fears your freedom. Because in our freedom, there is such a creative expression of what God is wanting to do in the earth that we reveal him through our liberty, through our freedom, through our creative expression. There's very strong biblical basis for this concept of freedom, that the artisans were the ones that God raised up in the last days with creative expression to war against the four beasts, that the horns that warred against the saints. The whole point was God's solution for restriction, bondage, resentment, bitterness, all this stuff, was a people that were free, and the result of their freedom was that they creatively represented him in the earth to where all of creation itself steps into a liberty because the people of God are free. And the people of God are free when we deal with the issues of jealousy and bitterness, regret, all these things that link us to things that are already under the blood. We've been invited, we've been commanded to step into this liberty because creation itself longs for the accurate representation of who he is through our freedom.
That made so much sense to me when I think about what we are sharing in terms of this series. There's a freedom that we need to walk in, and there's a bondage of jealousy and bitterness that keeps us bound, but also keeps us from expressing the light of Christ within us. And there is a freedom that the world around us is waiting for us to take hold of, so that not only can we receive that freedom and enjoy it, but the world around us now has, I almost want to call it a gateway to God's freedom, because everything they're hanging around is darkness. So everything they're hanging around just keeps them bound into darkness. All of a sudden they see light, and you become a passageway to receive light for themselves. So maybe you're here and you're dealing with these issues of bitterness and jealousy. And I want to give you this opportunity to really confront that. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a whole lot in a very little bit of time right now. The first thing I want to do is I want to invite our prayer team. And you guys can come on up. But what I want you to understand is that if there's something that you really need to express to the Lord, and you just want to just kind of come to the Lord, you don't necessarily have to come to a prayer team person. If you just need space in the altar to just say, Lord, help me with this. And if you don't mind somebody just coming alongside you and just helping to usher you into that presence of the Lord, then somebody can certainly just do that. And they usually will do that by the sensing of the Holy Spirit. And just, you know, it's like, hey, this person's praying. They're really going after God. But they seem like they need a little bit of help. Let me just lay my hand on their shoulder, let them know it's all right. That's just your brother and sister letting you know it's all right to talk to Dad. You see that? That's your brother or sister just letting you know it's okay to express what you got to express to Dad right now. Amen. So we're gonna sing a song together. But some of you might not feel like it's not time for me to sing yet. I can't sing this. I can't sing about being liberated and being free and no longer a slave. Because right now I still feel bound. But we're going to sing it in your honor. Because right now we believe in Jesus' name. You are free now. And if you got to sing your way free, if you got to cry your way free, if you got to whatever your way free, we're here to help you do that today. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. We're getting ready to close in just a minute. But before we close, we're going to make sure that we close and we're not going home bound. We're going to leave this place free in the name of Jesus. We're going to leave this place free. Free from bitterness, free from anger, free from resentment, free from unforgiveness, free from jealousy, free from envy, free from strife. Hallelujah. So if you just need to come, grab a flag. Somebody just put the flags up. From this side. Amen. Because I don't know if you caught what he said, that in the end times, and we've shared this before, in the end times, there's going to be an artistic, he called them artisans, but an artistic expression of God's glory. That we can't afford to hinder and hamper when it comes to the people of God being moved to express it. Whether it's in a dance, whether it's in a song, whether it's in a flag, whatever the case may be, whether it's in a painting, whatever that case may be, maybe a sculpture, whatever it may be, that people have to express the glory of God through art, through artistry. But there's a time right now where there's getting ready to be creative expression. And in order for creative expression to come forth, there has to be a freedom. There has to be a freedom. And if we're stuck in a place of bitterness, if we're stuck in a place of jealousy and resentment, we can't express that freedom the way God wants to express it. So I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna release our team to sing. I'm gonna release our prayer team to pray. But I'm gonna release you to express what God is putting in you to express, whether it's the lifting of your hands or the waving of a flag or the dance or whatever the case may be. I'm just gonna release it right now. And if you need to pray and get free from bitterness and all kinds of bondage, then just come. Just come. Just come. just wanted to remind you who you are. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you feel bound by, let us just remind you of who you are. Can you just say that with me? I am a child of God. Amen. Come on, one more time. I am a child of God. I've been liberated. I've been born again. I am free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the majority of us can say that. And maybe all of us can say that are in here today. And that's wonderful if that's the case. But maybe you're here today and you haven't made that declaration. You haven't made that commitment in your own heart that, God, I want to be your child. I want to be saved. I want to receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, so that when I sing these words, I can mean it. And if that's you today, we invite you to come right now and give your life to the Lord. Any one of our prayer team members would be more than happy to lead you in a prayer that will lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you liberated today? Amen. If you don't know it, I'm telling you, you are. I'm telling you, you are. And Father, and if there's anybody in here in the name of Jesus with any stronghold of the enemy, of jealousy or bitterness or whatever the case may be, Lord, we just ask that you swing the wrecking ball of the spirit right now to break down every wall, brick by brick, Lord. Let it be demolished. Even if you have to put dunamis, dynamite, explosive power of the Holy Spirit of God and just blow it to absolute smithereens, whether it's explosion or implosion, let those walls fall today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And let the enemy be exposed for who he is, a thief and a liar. Even a murderer from the very beginning. We tell that spirit to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we invite you. We invite you, Lord. We invite your favor, the love, and the joy in our hearts today, Lord, to rejoice as others get wonderfully and marvelously blessed. Because we know our blessing is on the way. We know it's on the way, Lord. Hallelujah. So let's lift our hands and let's just thank God for his freedom today. Father, thank you so much for blessing your people with abundant favor, with a multitude of blessing, with grace and mercy, Lord. Your amazing love towards us, Lord, with no regard to our history, forgiving all of our sins, Lord, washing our hearts clean. We thank you, Lord God, for helping us to overcome bitterness, overcome, Lord God, jealousy, and every spirit that comes with that, Lord. Thank you that it's bound today and that it has to flee. And we welcome, Lord God, your wonderful spirit of forgiveness, Lord God, kindness and compassion towards others in the name of Jesus. If you are still in need of prayer, whatever the case may be, whether it's healing, whether you need a breakthrough on your job, somewhere in your home, we invite you to come. Don't forget, if you're here also and you are desirous of becoming a part of our church family, we're getting ready to have our membership class in just a few minutes. Also, moms of men, if you could just stick with us as well. We've got a wonderful class set aside for you as well. And so as we bless you today, before you go, why don't you just hug a few people and let them know that you love them. And if you want to spend a little bit more time at the altar, we welcome you to do that. But if you have to leave, we will see you next time. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.